Have you ever noticed that all of the best stories have a journey in them? Mm-hmm. They involve travel. They are the very best stories. Someone, the hero, has to go somewhere. There are no heroic tales told entirely at the breakfast table. Someone has a call to go somewhere. Whether it's in science fiction and they have to go across the galaxy, whether it's myth and they have to sail to the lands of the dead, whether it's science fiction and science fantasy and they have to travel to Mordor and destroy the ring, whether it's legend and they have to cross the highest mountains, or whether it's scripture and they leave the land of Ur and travel to the promised land, or they travel from Nazareth and go to Galilee. All of the very best stories involve travel. They involve a journey. And that journey doesn't just involve leaving someplace and going to someplace, but it involves gaining insight while you're on the journey. Prior to Ash Wednesday, God told me that Church of Messiah is on a journey. And that our theme for Lent would be this journey that we're on. And I said, gee, Lord, I hope that matches the scriptures for Lent. In hindsight, I thought that was kind of funny. But, never mind that. Anyway. But we are on a journey. We are heading towards Easter. We're heading towards the resurrection. And unfortunately, the journey through Lent to the resurrection involves death. At least someone's excited about that. It's not exactly the most pleasing idea. In order to get to resurrection, you first have to die, which means there's some unpleasantry involved, to say the least. And typically, we're not really excited about that part of the journey. But when we get there, the journey, the destination is always, hey, we did it. Even if the destination is getting back home and celebrating all that's happened when you went where you were going and you made it back home. So, we're going to be working out this journey and destination, even though we're not entirely sure where we're going. We know where we'd like to go. We want to go to Easter. We want to go to the resurrection. We want to go to heaven. And in a physical sense, we want to go to this really wonderful 5 acres of property that we have on St. John's Bluff. It'd be fantastic if we were there in 4 weeks, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. But it's not always about getting to your destination. There's a lot of times you get some really interesting insights about yourself along the way. Amen. Recently, someone asked me, and we'd gathered together for some event, and they said, have you been doing much traveling? And I said, oh, no, not really. I don't really travel a whole lot. Well, except I went here, and well, then I went there, and well, I went there twice, and and actually, I've traveled more in the last 18 months since I became rector than I've traveled basically since I got out of seminary. Amen. And I really started thinking about that, and it wasn't so much the getting there and the doing what we've gone to do, which has been great. We've gone to March for Life twice. Amen. I was able to go to the funeral for the patriarch. Gone to this clericus and this retreat and that retreat, and it's been great generally. But the journeys tell a lot. Tell how much you like to be with people in close quarters for long periods of time. And how effectively you travel over long distances. I heard someone talking recently about being in a car with someone and she got grumpy and he got grumpy. And I raised my hand and said, "Yes, Lord, that's me." And he said, "Put it down. It's not an altar call." I said, "Never mind." We're coming back from Disney World late Friday night. And the only thing that saved me from a really big fight was my wife fell asleep. Been in the park for a long, long day. We were all really tired, and you just start nipping, right? Maybe I'm the only one. Okay. No. Never mind. But we see in Scripture today a couple of journeys. We see Abraham rise up from Ur, from Haran, and leave his homeland. Amen. And go from someplace that he's familiar with, that is his home. And he goes to the Promised Land. Amen. You know why it's called the Promised Land? Because all he had was a promise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's it. And we see another journey that's just as fascinating. We see Nicodemus. Amen. Nicodemus go to Jesus by night. Oh, yes. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was one of the Pharisees. He was one of the leaders. And he goes to visit Jesus and his disciples in the middle of the night. Amen. You know why he did that? Because he didn't want anybody to see him. And Jesus starts talking to him, and I think Nicodemus gets a really bad rap. You know, I've said that about Thomas before, and I stand by that. I think Thomas gets a bad rap. We're too hard on Thomas for his disbelief. And I think we're a little hard on Nicodemus too, because we look at Jesus' response to Nicodemus, "What? You're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand this?" And we're like, duh, you got to be born again if you're going to follow Jesus. Right, duh. Everybody's known that. Well, we have centuries of teaching that tell us that. He was the first guy who ever heard this. Right? So, Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answers him and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. I'm sorry, what? Because Nicodemus said, "I know that you're sent from God, because no one can do the signs that you do unless he's sent from God. You have to be born again if you want to see God." Now, we have hundreds of years of background talking to us about what it means to be born again. Amen. To inform our judgment of Nicodemus for not getting this like that. Amen. Let's give him a little grace when he goes, "I'm sorry, what?" And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" All right. Now, granted, maybe not the best response. Probably not a literal thing, but okay. Yes. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless he is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Now, he continues and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Yeah, this wasn't covered in Teacher of Israel 101. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If we have told you these earthly things, and you do not believe, how you believe if we tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now this is interesting, and it's very rarely addressed because everyone wants to talk about the being born again part. But here Jesus is saying, look, remember that time when they were in the wilderness and the children were beset by serpents. And these serpents would attack them and they'd be set upon by horrible pain. And Moses spoke to God and God said, make a giant serpent and put it on a staff, on a giant rod, and post it in amongst the people. And when the children of Israel are bit, they will go and they will look upon this and they'll be healed. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, on a giant rod, on a cross, that they would not perish. Except this time they're not just going to suffer from a snake bite. They're going to escape the bite of the serpent. So he gives him this, hey, here is the flesh, and here is the spirit. Amen. Look, you're born, and you're born again. Now, clearly, when it comes to actually delivering a baby, there's only so much I can say. But I have been present for several births.
Amen. Thank you.
And I know that there are some prayers that happen during labor and delivery.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But labor and delivery doesn't go quickly.
Amen. No.
It's not instantaneous.
No, it's not.
Let's hold on to that thought.
Amen.
And I want to talk about another journey. I want to talk about the Roman road. Okay? So for those of you who don't know, the Roman road is what evangelicals refer to as the path to salvation. Right? It is a description of the scriptures that are used to define the path to salvation that are taking from Paul's epistle to the Romans that say, this is what you have to do to be saved, right? And it says, hey, you've got from Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You've got to acknowledge that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. From Romans 6:23, that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we're evangelicals, right? We believe that Scripture contains all things necessary for our salvation, and that it is true, that it is inerrant, okay? Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't like, hey, I got really good, and then he was like, okay, come on, all right, I love you, you're good, come on. Right? No, we were like, crucify him, and he's like, okay, I'll die for them. Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hallelujah.
And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? These are all passages from Romans. They are all true. And they are all part of what leads us to salvation.
Amen.
Amen? Now, while I was at the conference on church growth this week, the patriarch said something that was revolutionary, blew my mind. We went there to do all these things about church growth, but I had this was one of those moments where you are going for one thing and you get something completely different. We were having the Eucharist in the morning as we were getting started, and he said something, and I don't know if it was something he really meant to, hey, I've got to impart this fascinating truth that the Lord has given me to all of these clergy here, or if it was just kind of like, hey, this is a neat thing, I'm going to throw this line out there for these guys. But he said something, and it was mind-blowing for me. We had prayed the confession and received the absolution, and he said, I don't know how much you guys think about this, but, you know, if you really pray this prayer, and you haven't been before, and you pray this prayer, you might just get born again. Wait, what? What? Now, granted, this isn't the same prayer that we've used for, oh, I don't know, like 25 years. We've changed some things by intention. Not because I knew the patriarch was going to say that. That's just a really happy coincidence. But let's listen to it again. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. Man, that goes right along with that whole, we're sinners.
Amen.
You know, we have fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. A lot of people get tripped up on that line. There is no health in us. No, I am healed by Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But the wage of sin is death.
Amen.
And I am a sinner who, except by the grace of God, I deserve death.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay? There is no health in us because we are sinners. And except by the grace of God, we deserve to get sick and die. But you, O Lord, have mercy on us, miserable offenders. We actually talked about this. The priests got together and went, hey, okay, should we do this? And everyone was like, yeah, this is great for Lent. Maybe not for like all time, but for Lent, this is great. Because this is the kind of like, you know, slap in the face. Oh, wait, yeah. Because let's think about what miserable actually means. It means in need of mercy. It means in need of mercy. If you actually go to an old Psalter and you go to Psalm 51, it's Miserare Nobis. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Miserable is the same word that we get mercy out of. Because someone who is miserable is someone who needs pity and mercy. And we need that. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises. Because you promised that if we confess our sins, you would forgive us. If we say, hey, God, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory, you'll forgive me.
Yes,
you promised that.
Yes,
according to your promises declared in mankind through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You know, we say we want to make Jesus Christ our Lord. We need him to be our Savior. And this prayer says, according to Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life. We want from now on to live a life that is godly, righteous, and sober.
In Jesus' name.
To the honor and glory of his name, from now on, we want to live a life that bears his characteristics for his glory.
Hallelujah.
I want to turn my life over and lead it for him to his glory.
Amen.
That I can lead it in a godly way, in a righteous way, in a sober way.
Hallelujah.
And then we pray, well, one of the priests prays, Almighty and merciful Lord, grant you absolution, remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of the Holy Spirit. You're forgiven. And we pray that you all have the grace to actually do this. Okay? Now, granted, I'm a little nitpicky. I have a tendency to be, you know, kind of snarky here and there. I'm working on it during Lent. But I have a little bit of an issue with churches who do altar calls when they don't have altars. I don't know. What, you know, maybe it's just me. Yeah, it's just me. But if you don't have an altar, how are you going to do an altar call? What are you going to do, you know, come to the microphone stand? I don't know. Maybe they should call it pulpit calls. I don't know. Anyway, we like one up this Roman Road altar call thing because we do this prayer one way or another. We do it every service, either at the very beginning or it's right before we go to communion. But on top of that, we're like, hey, let's say the creed. Let's say the creed where, in case you're not sure, let's pray this prayer and say, we believe that God does this. We believe that God is this. He's the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe that Jesus has done this. He rose from the dead. He was conceived by the Virgin. He's going to come again. This is who he is. He's God from God, light from light, very God of very God. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in all of this about the church. We don't just say, hey, let's say this one prayer. And then we don't just tell you, hey, now you have Jesus in your heart, which you do, which is great. We say, now stick around for a few more minutes and receive the body and blood of Christ. Because he gives himself to you. Not just in your heart, not just to be with you in this very real way, but in this absolutely physical, tangible way where he said, I will be with you. This is my body. This is my blood. Take and receive it. This is very challenging for some people, but I want you to see that this is scriptural.
Amen.
This is a journey.
All right, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen.
This is something that we work out on a regular basis. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, way close to the very end, says, I would remind you, brethren, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and by which you are being saved.
Amen.
Our salvation is a journey which we go through together.
Amen.
We are working it out corporately as the church, moving forward together. By which you are being saved if you hold fast to the words I preach you, unless you believed in vain.
All
Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. And again, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul, not talking about us, talking about himself, says, do you not know that all who run a race, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Amen. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. Therefore, I run thus, Amen. Not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, unless, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Amen. Thus, when I get to the end, having preached to others, I don't want to lose what I've talked to others about. This is a journey we're on.
Yes, it is. Amen.
This is something that we work through together.
Amen.
This is something that God gives us daily to work through. Over and over and over again, and even better, he seals it with a covenant.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes. We're his covenant beloved.
Oh, yes.
We get to go on this journey with him.
Amen. Thank you.
And he stays with us.
Yes, he does. Hallelujah.
He's never going to leave us.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we won't leave him.
Amen. Thank you.
Which is truly sad and terrible.
Oh, yes, it is.
But there are many who have turned away.
Oh, yes.
And we can pray for their repentance and their return.
Amen.
But he's never going to walk away from us.
Amen.
And he's always going to be eager for our return.
Amen.
But we... Man, we're evangelicals on steroids. We do this all the time. We got an altar call every time we come together.
Amen.
Let's say that we're sinners. Let's say that there's no health in us. Let's admit it. Let's proclaim it. Amen.
Amen.
I can't do this. I'm a wretch. I'm miserable. I need mercy.
Amen.
The only way I'm going to get through the day is by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
By the Holy Spirit. My daughter's laughing. She has no idea. Oh, child, if you only knew. The only way to get through this journey is by the grace of God.
Oh, yes.
Paul knew it.
Yes, he did.
He's like, look, if we did something that we could boast about, we'd have a debt.
Right,
there's no debt here.
Amen.
This is grace. It's a free gift.
Amen.
We're on this journey together. We make the journey every day.
Yes, we do. Hallelujah.
Every day we choose,
yes, we do,
to follow Christ and to keep on going. And sometimes it's really easy and sometimes it's inconceivably hard.
Yes, it is.
And in those days when it's really hard, we need to remember that Christ is with us. In those days when it's really easy, we need to remember that that's when temptation is close at hand. Because it's really easy when things are really, you know, peachy keen,
Amen,
to get tricked into thinking that everything's good and you're really strong. Because when things are really bad, you're like, oh, Jesus, I need you. I need you.
When it all is strong.
We need to remember that he's with us all the time. And not only that, but we do not travel alone. There are thousands of Christians today whose denominational preference is none. If you've ever watched a horror movie, those folks are the easiest to get picked off.
Oh, yes, they are.
They wander off into the woods and they're never seen again.
Amen. I've seen
that one. They go off into the wilderness and they're gone.
Oh, yes.
That's where a lot of the church is right now.
Yes, it is.
Okay?
Yes, it is.
That's why we gather together.
Yes.
We need to be mindful that the journey is more than just to Easter.
Amen.
It's more than just to this property. It's to paradise.
Amen.
It's to salvation.
Amen.
It's more than just one prayer. It's a continual life led towards sanctification, towards always working towards living your life better, more Christ-like, more like the Lord would have us, less like our old man, more like Christ, the Son of Man. That is what we are called to.
Amen.
And in that journey, as we walk this walk, it's not just the destination. But together we find incredible insights along the way.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.